X-Talks connects professionals in the life science, medical device, and food industries with useful content like webinars, job openings, articles, and virtual meetings to help you succeed in your career. This podcast brings together some of our editorial staff to share insights into the latest B2B industry news to help keep you up to date.
Hello and welcome to the X-Talks Life Science Podcast. I'm Maisha Rashid, Senior Life Science Journalist at xtalks.com, and this week I'm delighted to introduce a very special guest on the show. We have with us today Dr. Robert Perkins, Vice President, U.S. Medical Affairs, Renal at Bayer. Dr. Perkins' areas of expertise span strategic medical affairs leadership, clinical trials and scientific expertise, medical team leader, observational studies, and cross-functional team leadership, among others. At Bayer, Dr. Perkins is the strategic lead for a team of 8 headquarter-based medical directors and a 40-member field medical team with an annual operating budget of more than $20 million. Dr. Perkins is responsible for evidence portfolio across 2 therapeutic indications, chronic kidney disease and heart failure, encompassing 7 active trials and studies and more than 3,000 patients in the U.S. Dr. Perkins has also led the development and implementation of innovative digital educational outreach campaigns for primary care physicians. In prior roles, Dr. Perkins has also helped build and develop medical teams at Novartis and AstraZeneca. Last year, the American Diabetes Association updated their standards of care guidelines for 2024, which outlined strategies for diagnosing and treating diabetes, both type 1 and type 2, and detail methods of preventing and delaying type 2 diabetes, as well as associated comorbidities like cardiovascular disease and chronic kidney disease. March is National Kidney Month, and to discuss conditions like chronic kidney disease, including the development of new treatments, the updated American Diabetes Association guidelines, and how a comprehensive approach to treating diabetes is necessary for the reduction in the risk of kidney complications, let's turn to Dr. Perkins. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today, Dr. Perkins.
Oh, my pleasure, Aisha. Nice to talk with you.
Dr. Perkins, to begin, could you tell us a bit more about yourself and what drives your commitment to renal health and diabetes management, having been in the area for a number of years now? And are there any milestones that have shaped your approach to your work at Bayer?
Well, for me, it started, I'm a nephrologist by training and by practice. And, in my journey to the pharmaceutical industry really started with patients. And, I stopped practicing a number of years ago and moved to pharma because I felt it was an opportunity to really work at a population level. I think for most clinicians, there's some frustration involved with moving the needle just one patient at a time. And when the opportunity came to work at the level of the entire world, so to speak, of diabetes and chronic kidney disease, I jumped at that chance. But it comes back to patients. We remember their stories. We remember the experience of caring for them. And I enjoy that to this day. I enjoy knowing that our efforts are in some small way helping to impact patients living with diabetes and kidney disease.
And Dr. Perkins, could you comment on the key updates for the 2024 American Diabetes Association Standards of Care Guidelines? And specifically, how do these changes impact the management of diabetes in relation to kidney health?
Yeah, the ADA guidelines really are, they're really the Cadillac of guidelines from my perspective. They've really figured out very nicely how to keep up with the rapid pace of change that's occurring in the world of diabetes, specifically in chronic kidney disease, with annual updates now and real-time adjustments throughout each year, responsive to new events like clinical trial results and so on and so forth. The 24 updates, really, there wasn't a section of the 17 or 18 sections that weren't touched or modified in some way. So again, it's a testament to the 30 or 40 individuals that really worked very hard to update that. In terms of kidney disease, it's interesting. If you look back a number of years at prior guidelines and compare to today, The incredible evolution of treatments and the availability of treatments is really what stands out. When I was in practice, we had a single class, maybe two classes of medications, their cousins related, to manage these patients. And now clinicians and patients have many choices, which is very, very exciting. For us at Bayer in 24, we were very excited to have a new level A, highest level recommendation for the use of finerenone in patients with chronic kidney disease and type 2 diabetes to reduce the risk of hospitalization for heart failure. This is very exciting. It was a very strong endpoint in our FIGARO trial, our second of our two large phase three trials, a number of years ago now, and we're very pleased to see that gain that that confidence from the ADA. And we also had a restatement of the 23 guidance around, again, level A guidance for finerenone to improve cardiovascular outcomes and reduce the risk of kidney disease progression in the same population, patients with type 2 diabetes and chronic kidney disease. So thrilled about that. But yes, lots of therapies now available. It's a new world for clinicians and patients, which is a great thing.
And with respect to patients, the guidelines, of course, emphasize proactive testing for comorbidities in type 2 diabetes patients with a focus on conditions like chronic kidney disease. And so from your perspective, how important is it for healthcare professionals to really adopt this proactive approach, and what role can it play in improving patient outcomes?
Well, it's critical. And for some reason, it's very, very difficult, probably for a lot of reasons. For patients with type 2 diabetes, a number of screening tests are recommended. And I think primary care physicians and providers do a tremendous job of meeting those requirements, along with many, many others for all the other conditions that many of us acquire as we age. But for some reason, a urinary albumin test is you know, we've never been able to sort of achieve the level of screening that we should for this population of patients. It's critical because it's the earliest marker of kidney disease in patients with diabetes. In most patients with diabetic kidney disease, they will develop abnormal amounts of albumin or protein in their urine long before their kidney function itself begins to decline, as measured by the GFR test, glomerular filtration rate. So there's an opportunity there to intervene. And again, now with new therapies, Kerendia being one of them, but others as well, there's a real opportunity to intervene and slow disease progression. And most importantly, long before there's a risk of end-stage kidney disease, prevent those cardiovascular events that really represent the burden of morbidity in this population. So it's critically important. And much of the work we're doing at Bayer and other companies as well is directed at improving that screening to help patients understand their risks and you know, find an appropriate therapy to help them.
And in terms of screening, how can that be improved? Because according to a study from the National Kidney Foundation and the National Committee for Quality Assurance, only 40% of diabetes patients receive recommended testing for chronic kidney disease. And so what barriers or challenges do you see in achieving higher adherence to these testing guidelines? And how can the healthcare industry address these issues?
Yeah, I think it's many factors, Aisha, and I think some are quite mundane. To be quite honest with you, I recall, you know, almost every day in clinic a patient that would come and I would have their blood test results, but no urine test results, and it was because when they went to the lab, they didn't know that they were going to be asked to pee in a cup, so to speak, and they couldn't do that, and so they just left without it, right? So very practical problems. Sometimes, other times, it's education. You know, for us, for providers, do we understand why we're doing these tests, and do we understand that now there's something we can do about it? I think many physicians justifiably would say, well, why should I do that when I've already done everything I can? They're on the ACE inhibitor they should be on, or they're on the angiotensin receptor blocker. There's nothing else I would do with this test result than more than what I'm doing now. But that's changed now with new therapies. That's changed. And so I think it's constant education, persistent education, reminders. The work that the National Kidney Foundation and other groups are doing is tremendous in this regard. And again, we spend an enormous amount of time supporting healthcare systems in efforts to improve this.
Absolutely. And so from the perspective of the healthcare landscape and industry, so in terms of companies like Bayer, how are they committed to improving healthcare outcomes, specifically in the area of diabetes as related to kidney health?
We have a number of what we call implementation science projects or studies in collaboration with large healthcare systems around the country. A number of them don't even speak to treatment, to be quite honest with you. They're focused solely on screening and diagnosis. Some of them go beyond that next step to look at guideline-directed medical therapy, right? So you've made the diagnosis, you've done the screening. Now, what are your options? And I would say that for the group that I lead, it's probably, well, it is. It's the single largest commitment from a time and dollar standpoint that we're making currently at this point in time. It's really directed at improving healthcare systems' ability to care for these patients. And it's truly collaborative and it's exciting. It's very valuable work and it's very rewarding work for all of us, I think. We really enjoy it.
And in terms of the future, what developments in the treatment and management of diabetes-related CKD or chronic kidney disease are you most excited about? And how do you envision these changes improving patient outcomes? And you did mention the lead candidate in your in one of your pipelines, which is how do you say that? I'm going to cut you.
Kerendia. Yeah.
Kerendia.
So we have.
Okay.
So Kerendia is approved, as I mentioned, it's FDA approved for slowing kidney disease progression and reducing the risk of cardiovascular events in patients with type 2 diabetes and established chronic kidney disease. So that was approved almost 3 years ago now. And that was based on two very large studies, more than 13,000 subjects, largest type 2 diabetes study or set of studies done in chronic kidney disease historically. So we're very proud of that at Bayer. It really speaks, I think, to our commitment to this space. We currently are at the tail end of a separate phase 3 program called Fine Arts, which again involves finerenone or Kerendia. In this case, not limited to patients with diabetes. It's, diabetic or not, chronic kidney disease or not. But here in this case, we're testing the hypothesis that finerenone can prevent or reduce the risk of heart failure with preserved ejection fraction. So we're very, very excited about this study. We should have results towards the middle, perhaps third quarter of this year. And can't wait to hopefully provide a therapy for a group of patients that don't have a lot of options at the moment.
And where do you see the space going in the future with drugs like Kerendia?
Yeah.
And
I think there's a, again, it's after decades of sort of being on the way, a little bit of the wasteland of drug development, kidney disease has really come into its own, which is, again, great for patients. There are, I've lost track of how many phase 2 and now some phase 3 studies testing completely new drug classes, drugs with completely different mechanisms of action than what we have available today, cell therapy, other things. So a very, very exciting time. I think we'll see more and more innovative developments come to the forefront here in the coming 5 or 10 years. And probably a movement towards more precise or precision type approaches to even common diseases like diabetes and diabetic kidney disease. I think it'll be a very exciting time. I'm glad to know that the nephrology community is catching up a little bit with the cardiology community, where they've been doing this for a long time, but we're getting there now.
And in terms of innovations in this space, as you mentioned, in drug development, we're also seeing innovations, so to say, also in terms of how drug development is approached in terms of you see different stakeholders in the industry, across academia, and the healthcare ecosystem as a whole coming together to really fuel a new era of drug development, so to say, in various spaces, including in nephrology and the kidney space. So how do you see moving forward this multidisciplinary approach and how it's a change from the past and how it's going to lead us into the future?
Yeah, I don't have answers. I can say that right up front, but it is, I agree with you. There's it's like the tectonic plates are shifting underneath our feet a little bit at the moment, right? Which is both a little bit scary, but also very exciting, I think. You know, we're moving into an era where so many different forces are coming together and interacting. It's not quite as simple as just developing a drug anymore and moving through the regulatory processes. There's so many other elements that are involved, you know, related to costs, related to access, related to, you know, evolving patient populations that are changing, making sure we have the right patients in the trials. Patients that we want to help, that we think our drugs can help. All these things are real challenges. And I think the most exciting thing and the biggest opportunity for all of us is the collaborative nature of the work. It used to not be this way, but partnerships between industry and large healthcare systems and academia, you know, even federal agencies, FDA is much more collaborative with all these same groups. So I think it's a wonderful time. We're seeing things happen in kidney disease that I think many of us 20 years ago couldn't have imagined happening. And that's really because of this outreach that people are making to each other, and we're working together. I think it's great time to be in drug development and in medical affairs.
Absolutely. Dr. Perkins, thank you so much for your time, for being on the show today. I greatly appreciate your insights and for you to take the time to share all of the latest developments and your work in the field. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Aisha. Appreciate it.
That's the end of this episode of the X-Talks Life Science Podcast. If you liked today's show, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Thank you all for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
If you enjoyed our discussions today, please share the episode with your friends and colleagues, and be sure to subscribe in order to be notified when a new episode is released. To join in on the discussion, you can find X-Talks on social media, email podcast@xtalks.com, or comment on the articles directly. Links are in the show description. Take a moment to join our community at xtalks.com to get access to everything we have to offer, including webinars, job listings, virtual meetings, articles, and more. The views and opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the speakers sharing them. They should not be taken as professional advice and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position Honeycomb Worldwide. For further information, email us at podcast@xtalks.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.